You're listening to Alternate Reality, episode 402. We're talking about comic books.
The noisy boy highway, easy alongside the man J.R.R. I guess. Now I wanna do it up, so big. Party it up, so big. Spend it up, so big. So the whole world knows my love for you is so big. My heart is so big. My love is so big. For you, now for you. Nothing you can do but give the whole world to her 24.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned.
Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
And I'm Charlie.
And we're here to talk about comics and all the things going on in the world of comic books. Comic book news, reviews, previews, so forth and so on. Keeping you abreast of the situation going on in the world of geek culture. Yes, I said breast. And we want you to know what the hubbub is going on in the land of comics. That's what we do. We love comic books and we talk about comics. And we're here to talk about comics this week. And so we kind of had a light week last week. It was a short week because, you know, comic books come out like weekly, right? And so there's 4 weeks in a month generally. But occasionally, every so often, like 3 or 4 times a year, you'll get a month that's got 5 Wednesdays in it. And when you have that 5th week of comics in that month, then that 5th week is always super light. And so there doesn't, you know, all your regular books have generally already come out. So last week was a 5th week thing, and DC used to have 5th week events. You remember that, Charlie?
Yes.
That was actually really cool. DC would calendar ahead and look at where the 5th weeks were and would say, all right, well, when this 5th week rolls around in 4 or 5 months, we want to do this little miniseries that all that week. And
make DC it. 1 million was a 5th week event.
Oh, was it? Okay. Because there was a lot of 1 million books that came out, so I thought that was a month-long event.
It was.
Oh, but it started in the 5th week, or
no? It ended in the 5th week.
It ended in the 5th week. Okay, so yeah, that it used to be a lot of fun to look forward to the 5th week.
Because there were 5 main issues, and the rest.
Yeah, so once a week. Okay, so yeah, it used to be a lot of fun to look forward to those 5 5th week events, and now not so much. It's just your regular Hall of Comics, but generally they have like little specials and one shots and things like that. Like the Batman Secret Files issue that came out, or the Avengers Halloween special that came out last week.
Well, now DC's doing these Warner Brother cartoon.
What? Oh, yeah, okay. The Looney Tunes characters crossing over with DC heroes.
Because last week it was Deathstroke and Yogi Bear.
Uh-huh.
Green Lantern and Huckleberry Hound.
I have not.
Superman and Top Cat.
I have not read the first one of those.
Nightwing and McGilla Gorilla.
That just seems so patently ridiculous. I've not read any of them.
Well, some of them are good.
Because they don't portray the Looney Tune character in their traditional format.
No.
As an anthropomorphic character.
Yes.
They portray him more like, if Yogi Bear shows up, he's actually a bear.
Yeah. Well, he's a bear type person.
Right. So it's...
It kind of works in the DC universe. It wouldn't work in the Marvel universe.
So, again, I've not read any of them, so I don't know.
Because the Marvin the Martian?
I think I would much rather see...
Martian Manhunter?
Like if Superman and Bugs Bunny crossed over, I think I would much rather see Superman show up in Bugs Bunny's world, because he would be a character.
Well, they used to do that, too. Like, the first story would be them in their universe, and then they would have one where...
Because they flip sides. If Superman shows up in Bugs Bunny's world... He's a very cartoony, exaggerated version of Superman in Bugs Bunny's world.
Mm-hmm.
If Bugs Bunny shows up in Superman's world, it's regular Superman and what looks to be a normal rabbit, but just has got some extra things going on. Like, he may be able to stand up. He may actually even be able to say something. But he doesn't look like Bugs, you know, that kind of thing. So,
but like last time, they had like the Catwoman, Tweety Bird, and something.
Sylvester. Yeah.
And like Sylvester was like her cat.
Right.
So she was dealing with her, Sylvester hunting Tweety Bird. And
right. That issue. So again, fifth week events aren't what they used to be, but if you're into the Looney Tunes stuff, you might find those interesting. But this past week was a fifth week event, or fifth week, which means that there wasn't a lot of books that came out this past week. It was a lighter week, so Charlie and I should have no trouble reviewing these books and telling you what was what and what was good and what wasn't. So without any further ado, unless you have something to add, Charlie?
Nope.
We're going to get into that in just a moment. Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. We'll be back in just a moment.
Before time began, there was the cube. We know not where it comes from, only that it holds the power to create worlds and fill them with life. That is how our race was born. For a time, we lived in harmony. But like all great power, some wanted it for good, others for evil. And so began the war. A war that ravaged our planet until it was consumed by death. And the cube was lost to the far reaches of space. We scattered across the galaxy, hoping to find it and rebuild our home. Searching every star, every world. And just when all hope seemed lost, message of a new discovery drew us to an unknown planet called Earth. But we were already too late.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. We want you to reach out and talk to us. You know, we don't want to just spend all our time talking to you. We want you to reach out and talk to us. And the easiest way to do that is through email. AlternateRealityPodcast@gmail.com is the email address. And you can write a normal message, you know, just type it out. Or if you want to, you can record some type of WAVE file or MP3 on your computer and email that to us. If we get that, we'll either read or play your message while we're on the air, and we'll respond to it, and that would be a lot of fun for us to do. So we encourage you to do that. Please send your emails or voicemails to AlternateRealityPodcast@gmail.com. All right, first up on the list this week, Charlie,
yes.
Heroes in Crisis. This is kind of the big thing going on in the DC Universe right now. You know, you...
9-month-long event.
Well, see, you would think... if I ask you, Charlie, what's the big thing going on in the DC Universe? For a while, you might have said Doomsday Clock. But I don't know what happened to that book. I think that thing just quit coming out. I don't know. I haven't seen or heard anything out of it in a long time. It's
like 2 months.
Yeah, it doesn't come out frequently enough to interest you.
And I've not read a single issue, but I have them all.
Yeah, so, you know. So everybody thought Doomsday Clock was going to be the big thing. We're finally going to get DC Rebirth explained to us, and I've read them all, and nope, if that's what you were looking for, that's not happened yet. So what's the other big thing that's going on? Well, there's a lot of stuff happening in Justice League, but this thing happening with, Justice League Drowned Earth is happening right now.
They had a little miniseries, and...
Yeah, they had the No Justice miniseries, which
Justice is League Dark had a little miniseries.
And then from that, Justice League is branched off into like 3 Justice League books. So you got regular Justice League, you got Justice League Dark, and you got Justice League Odyssey. So there's a lot of, if you're a Justice League fan, there's a lot of stuff going on there. But probably the biggest thing going on in DC right now, as far as what's affecting everybody, is this Heroes in Crisis book. So the first issue we talked about earlier, Charlie, Sanctuary is this like farm out in the middle of the Kansas wheat field area part of the country. I don't know if it's in Wyoming or Kansas or Iowa or where is that, but you just imagine like big wheat fields in the plains somewhere, and there's a farmhouse out there, and that farmhouse is just a front for what is actually a like mental institution where heroes and to some degree villains who have just had been pushed to the limit and got PTSD or just they have some type of mental crack up can go and get therapy and can talk through it and can get back on the right track and back to doing the thing that they do. And of course, if you're a villain, that's not to say that they rehabilitate you to back into villainy. I'm saying, but the idea is that you can get help for your mental issues, regardless if you're a hero or villain. And so we've had, apparently, all kinds of heroes have been here. Even the big three, Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman, have had been there and talked about issues that they face. Batman talking about the fact that he brings kids into this thing that he calls crime fighting, and sometimes they get hurt, and it's hard for him to deal with. Superman talking about not understanding whether or not he's actually Clark Kent dressing up as Superman or Superman dressing up as Clark Kent. Sometimes he's not sure which is the real him, which is a classic debate that's gone on in comics for years. And Wonder Woman talking about the fact that she was very closed off as a child and didn't get a lot of emotional support, and she grew up kind of rough, despite the fact that she was a princess, which is not something that I ever really understood to be true about Wonder Woman. I always got the idea that her mom was very supportive and loving, but this would indicate that she found her mom to be cold and at times not rejectful, but just off-putting, like she pushed her to the side while she dealt with matters of state and other such things. So, but you recall in the last issue, everybody that was there was dead.
Yeah.
We saved two people, Booster Gold and Harley Quinn.
Uh-huh.
And they fought themselves to a bloody standstill out in the middle of a cornfield. And so you didn't really know how that worked out.
Well, it was because Harley believed Booster to be the killer.
Right. Harley said Booster killed everybody. Booster seems to think Harley's the killer. Yeah. And so apparently one of them has had a mental break and doesn't remember what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had our suspicions, Charlie. You and I both actually believed that Booster probably was the killer.
Mm-hmm.
In this issue...
Well, I would hope so, because that could fix everything at the end.
Or you think it ties up neater that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if it's Harley, I don't know if they could really bring the characters back. Which, like I said, Tom King has said that basically that, oh, these are all permanent deaths.
No, you can't believe that. There's too many characters that are gone.
He said it, though, but that's what I'm saying. He has said that they're permanent
deaths. I mean, we've got some second-tier characters like, you know, Commander Steel.
Third or fourth tier characters who died.
Yeah, but you've also got like...
And you have Wally and Arsenal.
Right, that they just brought Wally back.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's hard for me to believe that they...
I mean, he was the whole reason for the rebirth.
Right. Yeah. So that doesn't make any sense. So something's wonky. And I
kind of figured it might have been Arsenal, because I was saying all along it might be Arsenal, because... Out of all the characters they put on that poster, one of these people will die. And, like, he was about the only one who'd ever been killed.
Right.
Hadn't been killed.
Right.
And the way they were writing his character, he was self-destructing the whole time.
Right. And he's been on a self-destructive path for a long time.
Yeah.
With the drug use in the 70s, and it's just gotten worse since then. Because comic characters exist in slow motion over long periods of time. So from the 70s to today, Arsenal has been a self-destructive character.
And like recently they've, like, he really hasn't had any direction because he was in the Titans for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they split that team apart at some point in time. And Arsenal is just like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Right.
Because
he never felt like he fit in, never felt like he belonged.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this issue sees Harley Quinn searching for refuge because she figures, with all these characters dead, the big three are coming for her.
Uh-huh.
So she goes to the Penguin and she asks for sanctuary, you know, pardon the phrase. She asks for, you know, him to put her up somewhere where she won't be found. He puts her in a warehouse, but it's, you know, just it's not a very good hideout, and they quickly find her. But in the meantime, they're conducting an autopsy on Commander Steel. I'd like to note here that the artwork on this page features Superman in traditional costume with the stupid cuffs knotted on his sleeves. And I don't think it's just an oversight. I think DC is slowly phasing out the cuffs. So that's my wish, my hope, and I continue to believe that. But they do the autopsy, and they found, you know, Commander Steel's got almost impenetrable skin. So no typical projectile, a knife, or a gun, or anything like that could hurt him.
Well, his skin is steel. So.
Right. So the way that someone had killed him is something was jammed and lodged in his throat. Batman performs the autopsy and pulls the thing out, and it's a pair of wind up chattering teeth.
Yeah.
This would give credence to Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Being the murderer. So they go looking for Harley Quinn, and they find her, and she's held up in this warehouse with these penguins, and she's playing cards with them. So Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman come in there and say, "We've got you. You better stop." She fakes him out and says, I'm giving myself up. I know I can't hide from you two." And she reaches and she embraces Wonder Woman and hugs her. And while she does, she pickpockets her and takes her golden lasso. She takes the lasso and she quickly wraps it around Batman's neck, which I find it really hard to believe that she gets the drop on Batman, but okay, she did. And so she's got Batman in a check hold with the golden lasso, and Superman's like, "I can get her." And Wonder Woman's like, "No, she'll break his neck before you can get to the rope." And so they're kind of stalemated here. And she starts asking Batman questions. She said, because he's got the golden lasso on, so he's compelled to tell the truth. And she goes, "Do you have anything on you that can fight Kryptonians and can help me?"
No, because they were Clark and Batman were having the conversation.
Right. So this is the second beforehand. Part of right. I was going to say this is the second part of a conversation earlier about Batman saying, "Well, do you have records of all these people's therapy sessions?" And Batman says, "No, all those records are deleted as soon as the session's over for their own protection."
Yeah, he said basically they go in, confess, and they delete it.
Right.
I don't understand.
I don't see how that's therapeutic. How
that would help them, because I think therapy is based on
continuing to work from where you were.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Batman says, Superman basically accuses Batman of saying, "Well, but you're the guy that plans for every eventuality. You've got a back door into the system. You still have all these records. I know you do."
And his final thing is, he goes, "I bet you got a piece of kryptonite in that belt right there."
"Yeah, I bet you got kryptonite in your belt right now, just in case I get out of hand." And Batman says, "No, I don't." You know, Batman's adamant about the fact that he doesn't do that kind of thing anymore. He has been guilty of that before. Read a story called Tower of Babel. Okay. So anyway, they get to this, and so she's got the lasso on Batman's throat, compelling him to tell the truth. She says, "Do you have anything on you that can defend me against Superman?" And he goes, "Kryptonite in utility belt, lead line pouched." And Superman's like, "Son of a Batman, now you lied to me." So she gets the Krypton out. Superman hits his knees. She jumps out the window and says, "I don't know whether y'all believe me or not, but Booster did it. Bye." And she's gone. They lost her. Transition that to Booster Gold. Booster Gold wakes up in this wheat field and decides that he's not going to wait around for somebody to decide whether or not he's guilty. He is going to investigate himself, because that's what Batman would do. Solve the crime and then clear your name, right? So he says, "First, I need to know somebody that knows something about forensics and dead bodies and can help me piece clues together, because that's not my field." So he goes and finds the Flash. He finds Barry Allen. Barry Allen's a forensic scientist. And he finds the Flash and he goes, "Flash, I need you to help me. All these heroes are dead." "Really?" "Yeah, they killed everybody. Arsenal, Blue Jay, Ivy." And the whole time that he's saying this, Keats was like, "Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up." And he says, "Even Wally." Well, you know, that's Wally. That's the Flash's very, very good friend. And so he stopped, and nephew to some degree, depending on the continuity. And he stops. He says, "I don't believe you." And he runs super fast, is gone for a split second, then comes back and begins to pummel Booster Gold. He says, "What did you do?" So he's seen the Flashes and all the other dead bodies. And he's assumed, based on what he saw, that Booster's responsible.
Now, I would imagine he got there and they told him.
Who told him? There wasn't anybody left, was there?
No, Batman, Superman, or Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Because this scene where, I don't know what the timeline of this whole, like, Harley Quinn fight is. So this could be like a day or so afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And this, where he's walking around in the wheat field, could be just like 10 minutes from after he fought her.
Well, I don't know. That may not jive with the next page, because the next page, they're still standing at the warehouse, and Superman's using his vision looking for Harley, and he goes, "Wait, Barry, he's got Booster," and he's, "Oh, no," and he flies off. So that fight's taking place while they're at the warehouse. So that may not work with your timeline.
Or maybe he talked to the tower.
Hey, who knows? And so basically, it transitions from there to the Daily Planet, somebody sends Lois a package, and it's one of the taped confessions from the people who were confessing to the computer program thing. And basically the thing says that more of these are on the way. And if that, and I forget which one it was that she got, some low level person, it doesn't matter. But that means that if she got this one on this guy and it told all his secrets, then people like Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and everybody that went there could have their secrets exposed too. And the file was sent to her by somebody named the Puddlers. So that's, you know, that's interesting. You know, you have to kind of do a little research to figure out what Puddler is.
It's Arsenal.
Oh, is it Arsenal? Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of where the issue ends. It's really intriguing.
Well, here's the thing.
Because a Puddler is somebody that takes like molten steel and gets the impurities out of it, makes it stronger. So by the person identifying themselves as the Puddlers, I imagine on some level they think they're making these heroes better.
Well, he said it in the first issue. Like they actually, because it was written, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Blame the Puddlers or something right. like that. And Batman said something about it. But I thought it was weird that, like, weren't they talking about Harley Quinn and before they went to fight her or whatever? And they said, well, Batman goes, like, she's probably the best.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he would ever say that.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, you realize, though, that Harley in this issue wasn't in Sanctuary. She didn't go...
To be a patient.
She was there visiting Poison Ivy.
Right.
And the whole thing with this is like, well...
It's supposed to be super secret.
Yeah, Poison Ivy's like, how are you here? Why are you here?
How do you know about this place?
Yeah, and like, because like, they've recently played it to where they're like girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know.
Lesbian lovers.
But they're together, and she comes in, she's playing with her, she's like, I'm going to boop your nose, and she go boop like that, and while Poison Ivy's talking. Well, you get the feeling at the end of this that they killed Poison Ivy, too.
Right.
But they don't show it, but she's missing, because she wasn't part of the body count.
Right.
In the last issue.
So.
So, by this recollection from this storyline, it still pulls you into more of the Harley Quinn is innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And Booster's still the guilty party.
Right. But something's wrong with Booster. And Booster has been acting, and we've talked about this before, yeah. Booster's been acting quirky for a number of issues in this book and his book and other books.
Yeah.
And Skeets, we know, is working for Bane.
Yeah.
And so...
If this, like I said, if this turns out at the end of 9 issues and it's Bane, I will never buy another Tom King book ever
again. Well, because we know that Tom King's writing the Batman book that Bane is the secret villain in.
And he's been the secret villain since
issue 1.
DC Rebirth Batman number 1.
Right. So if Tom King has just got a major chub on for Bane and it's making him the secret villain of the whole freaking universe.
Well, like I said, I think we explained it last time that probably when he was growing up, he was reading Nightfall.
Right.
And he saw Bane as the uber bad A of creation. And
the Joker's so old school, Bane's where it's at.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And yeah.
Where, like I said, you know, Bane basically kind of beat Batman to a pulp before he started to actually fight him.
Right.
So it really wasn't a fair fight to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Because Batman wasn't as ready.
Right. Well, Batman had to have, I mean, we're a little off topic. But Batman had to basically have his death in return, similar to how Superman had his. But the difference is with Batman, you can't kill him. So you just cripple him, but then he eventually makes his way back. And so, but it's a similar type story where you take Batman going up against almost invincible foe, a la Superman versus Doomsday, getting beat down and defeated and destroyed because Batman's back was broke. It was questionable whether or not he'd ever move again, you know. And...
Which we apparently learned this week that, like, well, in the past few weeks that in Justice League, he's had almost every bone in his body broken.
Yes.
But he's running around.
He's still running around in that Morbius chair. It's not actually the Morbius chair. Mobius chair, yeah. It's not actually the Mobius chair, but it reminds me of it. And he's still in Justice League Drowned Earth. the Aquaman crossover, he's still sitting there in that stupid chair. And like Miss Martian's like, we're evacuating Batman. You have to come with us. He said, no, I'll stay here to guard the totalitary, me in this chair, because I can't move out of this chair. He's like, I didn't break every bone in my body to get the totality back to give it up. Like, what are you going to do in that chair, Batman? I'll think of something. But getting back to what I was saying, and then after Nightfall, Batman then has an imposter come and be him for a while with Azrael, similar to how you had the four Supermen. And then Batman eventually comes back to reclaim his title the same way Superman did. So there's a lot of parallels between those two stories. So it's interesting. All right, Charlie, that brings us to the next book of the week. Speaking of epic stories and crossovers, we're stuck in what seems to be the Spider-Man, Spider-Geddon crossover story. Now, you're reading some of the tie-in books that I'm not reading, and this is one of them. Vault of Spiders, number one. Tell us about it.
Well, this is an anthology-like story book.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's got like three or four tales of every like different spiders from all across the multiverse, and the first it's Karn starting this. He's talking about he's saying that very thing, and then we get like this first story about the web slinger,
right?
And I say it like the web slinger, because it's like a Peter Parker in the Wild West.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that meme I posted? It's like all PS4 users right now, and you've seen a picture of Spider-Man with a cowboy hat on?
Yeah.
Because those are the two big games out right now, so it's like PS4 players are splitting their time between Spider-Man and Red Dead Redemption 2.
Well, yeah, it's been out for weeks, but that's fine.
it was a joke that I thought was humor.
Yeah, I know. It's funny, but...
but I've derailed your review.
It's been out for a while. But, like... it talks about him and like his nemesis is Dr. Connors.
Mm-hmm.
No, Doc Morbius, who had like was making a potion for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But get, like he's one of those, you know, old timey bottle of miracles.
Oh, it's like a snake oil salesman.
Yeah. And what it does is it gives Peter powers.
Oh, okay.
And in this one, it turns himself into Morbius, the living vampire.
Mm.
In this, he's trying to steal kids, and Spider-Man beats him. And then you see Spider-Man at the end of it, and he rides off on his old horse with these kids after he saved them. And it's weird because his guns, like, shoot the spider webs.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got, like, six guns that shoot spider webs. It's pretty funny. Well, the next thing we have is the Spider-Man.
The what?
The Spider-Man.
Okay.
The Japanese Spider-Man from the 70s.
Ah, okay. Who
has the, like, the dial on his thing,
mm-hmm.
and the big giant robot Leopardon.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns basically into a manga in the middle of the book.
Cool.
Because it goes all black and white. And he's fighting like these bad guys, and you don't know it, but like in the Japanese version of the Spider-Man game, he says, "Yeah, the God of Death, the emissary of Hell." That was like one of his sayings in the 70s show.
Right.
Well, you know, in the holographic, like when he does the holographic power, that's what he says in the Japanese version.
Okay.
Like when in the PS4, when he uses the holographic power and mm-hmm. he's got the dupes. Well, that's what the dupes say in Japanese.
Okay.
So it's like a callback to that one. It's kind of cool because he calls Leopardon beats the bad guy. Then we're like introduced to this, the next story, we're introduced to this Earth where like almost everything is virtual reality. But you don't know that because you have these kids going to college.
And your mom goes to college.
They're in a futuristic college. They're at the Peter Parker Memorial College, which is kind of funny. But this is like in the 23rd century or whatever.
In the year 2000.
But then there's this girl who comes in and she's a spider person. And they call her Spider Bite. B-Y-T-E.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool.
But then again, it's like at the end of it, it's like you find out that it's all virtual reality and she's fighting, like, the robber turns out to be this big fat schlub. like that who hadn't moved and he was stealing like data or something like that.
It's Tron, but in Spider-Man turn.
But yeah, but then he finds out it's like she takes the VR helmet off and it's like every generation needs a Spider-Man. And then I think comes the best one. It's like the caveman Spider-Man, Spider Savage.
Cool. Kazar, the Spider-Man.
Yeah. And he fights, I think it's Kraven. Yeah, it's Kraven. Kazar the Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's him. Kazar the Hunter.
Sweet.
And it's the Spider Savage against Kazar the Hunter. They were kind of cool little, like, anthology stories, one-offs.
So it really had nothing to do overall with the overall Spider-Geddon story.
Well, no, just the fact that they may end up in the whole...
They may at some point get pulled in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they also show... I'll show you this. But there's a character. Let's see. I'll find it. Okay. It's on this page right here. On top right, or my right, your left.
Okay.
You know who that is?
No.
This character right here?
No.
It's May.
Didn't she just get killed?
It's May Parker, though.
Oh, Aunt May.
Yeah, it's Aunt May.
I thought you meant his daughter, May. No.
It's Aunt May as the spider person. She's got like a big chef's hat on. It's really weird.
Okay, cool.
But it was kind of funny.
Excellent. That brings me to Injustice, the video game, versus Masters of the Universe, the 80s toy franchise mega hit. All right, so imagine, if you will, a mashup, a collision. No, we're talking about politics. A collision of these two properties, and this is what you're getting. All right, so just to give you a gist, because this is issue 4, so I'm going to backtrack just a little bit.
Is this written by Freddie Williams?
You would ask. No, it's Seeley, and Freddie Williams II is doing the art. But
oh, yeah, Tim Seeley is the one who did all those He-Man books, so he should be up on the He-Man mythology.
Right. Right. Well, no, everything's fine as far as that's concerned. So here's the gist of it. You know, at this point in the DC He-Man universe, okay, because that may not necessarily be the He-Man universe you remember from the cartoon, right? So in this version of story, Adam has been outed as He-Man. I think Randor and Marlena are either gone or kidnapped or dead or something, and he's kind of like taken over as, King of Eternia or whatever. And but everybody knows that Prince Adam... I guess he's still Prince, because I read a story where he was king, but I guess he's still Prince. So they refer to him as Prince Adam, so maybe Randor and them are still around. But they refer to him as Prince Adam, but everybody knows. Tila knows, Man-at-Arms knows. Man-at-Arms knew anyway. Everybody knows that they are one and the same person, okay? And so Tila's attitude towards He-Man is much different than it used to be like on the cartoon. On the cartoon, whenever He-Man was around, Tila kind of swooped and swooned and... now that she knows it's Adam, she's giving He-Man orders. Like, He-Man, get over there and do that. And he was like, she never gave me orders before she knew I was Adam. You know, she always asked me what I thought, you know, because she thought I was a great warrior or something. Now, not so much. But the gist of it is they're out and about one day, and Adam's, you know, kind of melancholy because there's not a lot to do right now because Skeletor's been banished or something. So there's no evil, and all the bad guys have been locked up. And a portal opens, and it's some of the DC heroes. So Starfire, Vic Stone, and some other people step out. Batman steps out of the portal and says that, you know, things back on Earth are really bad. He-Man recognizes the Earth because his mom, Marlena, has told him about it because that's where she comes from. She was an astronaut that got lost in space and fell to Eternia and married the king. If you remember, that's from what it was in the old cartoon, too. Okay. So he knows a little bit about the Earth, but he's never seen it, never been there. He's intrigued. But they're like, things are really bad there because Superman, who was our greatest champion and protector, has turned evil. And he subjugated the whole planet. And we need help to free our people. Well, long story short, it takes some convincing, but he decides to help them. So he and a number of his guys, like, you know, Ram Man and Stratos and a bunch of others, they all go to Antila. They go to Earth to help, but they leave some DC heroes on Eternia to help defend, right? Okay. So while they're there dealing with He-Man and dealing with Superman and Wonder Woman and the Injustice threat, here we have Eternia, which seems like it's relatively peaceful, suddenly invaded by Darkseid. Darkseid himself shows up and declares that he has found the anti-life equation, and it's in Grayskull. And that's what gives Grayskull its power, and he's here to take it. Well, He-Man back on Earth is fighting, and again, making a long story short, he steals some armor that some of He-Man's soldiers wear, and when the power of Grayskull hits that armor, it turns him into Battle Armor He-Man. And so I was like, well, that's pretty cool. And he fights, one of the villains they fight is Copperhead, and he takes Copperhead's costume, and Teela makes it into her costume that's got the serpent thing. And so they're like doing, and they're doing a lot of like toy placement from the toy line. So like Cyborg is flying that airplane that looked like a falcon, that looked like Zoar the Falcon.
Yeah.
And they're riding around on that giant carrier that was made of bones and your little warrior stuck to the side of it. And like Cyborg's like, this is embarrassing to ride around like this, and says, sorry, this terrain's treacherous. The skeletal climber or whatever they call that thing is the only thing that can transverse this with all of us at the same time. So they keep working these toys, whether it's the attack track or whatever. And then they're drawn. They're not drawn like they were in the cartoon. They're drawn like they were in the toy line.
Yeah.
And so that's really cool. And but Superman and He-Man get into an epic fight, and it's tippy whiz between them. Of course, you know Superman's vulnerable to magic. But while He-Man's got the upper hand on Superman, and he just about has him down for the count, Darkseid successfully breaches Grayskull and takes the power for himself. Well, at that moment, the power of the sword is cut off, and He-Man reverts back into Adam, and then Superman captures him. So that's kind of where this issue ends off. What's really, really interesting about this, and why I enjoyed it so much, is the fact that Skeletor, who we thought was banished, turns out is working for Superman as a dark mage. All right? Skeletor then gets back to Eternia at the end of this issue, only to bow down in front of Darkseid and say, our plan has worked perfectly, because Darkseid is the one that sent him to Earth to betray Superman. And I was like, ooh, this is really good. And so now that Skeletor gets there, you think he's pledging allegiance to Darkseid? He attacks Darkseid and says, now that I'm in Grayskull, Grayskull's power will be mine. So there's going to be an epic Skeletor-Darkseid fight in the next issue. I'm like, that's really cool. This is like all the things that 10-year-old John could possibly be in love with. And it's really, really cool, really, really epic. And we find out that the Batman that comes to He-Man's world is not Batman. It's actually Damian as a grown young man. And when he brings He-Man back, we find out where Bruce is. Bruce is like sitting in a chair, in like a Mobius-style chair again. And he's been wired into the computer, and he's running all the defense systems from his brain because he's got the most strategic brain. And when Damian comes in to save his dad, Damian gets killed. And it's at that point that Batman snaps out of it and raises up, tears all the wires out of his head, and rejoins the fight as a hero. And I was like, this is epic!
Yeah, this takes place in the Injustice
universe, right.
So, yeah. So you don't, this is like the 56th or 57th book of that, so like I don't even know where they're at in the storyline.
Yeah, nothing's ever resolved. At the end of the day, Superman and Wonder Woman still are in control of the Earth.
Well, isn't He-Man going to get the Shazam power in, like, the next issue or something?
Yes.
Did they not show him in the cloak or whatever?
No. Maybe he does, but you know who's got it right now?
Yeah.
Skeletor. Because Skeletor says that, I realize now that it took one great wizard to create Grayskull. It'll take another great wizard to capture its power. And he pulls out this sword. It looks similar to He-Man's sword, but it's purple. From the toy line.
Yeah.
And he goes, And the name of that wizard is Shazam, and lightning hits it. And I was like, oh, this is like the most epic mashup ever.
Yeah, I think Adam's going to get the power in the next issue.
So it would be really cool to see Prince Adam run around and then Captain Marvel get up. That would be
awesome. Because I think he's got the hood on and everything.
Yeah. So they apparently just had a lot of fun in this series. This is issue 4 of 6. Next 2 issues are probably really, really good too. And so I hadn't talked about this at all, even though I was reading it, and I kind of wanted to touch on it, especially since it was a lighter week. All right, Charlie, Doom Patrol number 12.
Doom Patrol number 12 is the, well, if you're not reading Doom Patrol.
I'm not.
There's this kid who learns he can do magic in the book.
I thought we read that. It's called Books of Magic.
Well.
Different book.
Okay. Different book.
Okay.
Different series.
Different kid.
But in one of the, like issue 9 or 10 of Doom Patrol, he zaps his family away. Well, it turns out he zaps them to this, like, Dungeons and Dragons world. And that's what happens. Him and his mom and dad are fighting, like, demons and everything, trying to get to this castle. And there's a wizard who's, like, a little fairy-like guy, and he's like, well, you can't fly. Only a certain point can you do that. And because the kid's still trying to learn his magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go and they fight, and then they finally, like, they get captured, and there's an epic, like, troll battle, and they fight Mudman and everything, and the kid just, like, finally, like, figures out how to do his magic, right? So he becomes the big mage, and they meet the bad guy, and they think their father, he strikes his father, and they think that he dies for a while. But then it turns out, like, he comes back, and they're fighting the main bad guy, and, like there's, like, he's, like, making up these epic poems as they go along. He's like, only true it is when the arrow of light hits the center of whatever, you know. It's like these big, huge, epic poems. And it turns out, like, the kid's, like, the guy's, like, The wizard's like, well, that doesn't even rhyme. That even won't work as a spell or whatever. Well, his dad finally comes back and, like, he's like, yeah, I need my dad the whole time. And he goes and kicks, like, the sword, the arrow in from the guy's chest, and they kill the guy. Well, then it turns out that, like, they meet an older, like, type magician, like a wizard or a warlock or whatever. And it turns out it's the kid's grandma. And they're like, what the heck's going on? And they're like, well, you know, now that you've gotten through this, you got to go into the Demonscape, which they kind of thought that they were already in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, like, the issue ends. There's, like, been, like, 3 or 4 months between these issues. So if you think Doomsday Clock's been late.
Yeah.
This book is super late.
Wow.
It's written by Gerard Way. But I think that's because he's doing the Umbrella Academy for Netflix as a live action show.
Right.
So he may be dealing with that while writing this book when he can. Because he kind of started this. This was like their Vertigo book between Vertigo book.
Right.
Because they call it a young animal. And this includes Cape Carson, Changing Woman, and Mother Panic. Yeah, that was the other one.
Right.
And
Cape Carson has a cybernetic eye.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is like the fourth book in that, Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol is really good.
They hadn't been saying much about it. I mean, for a while there, they had a lot of advertising for this book and stuff, and then it kind of just...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's fallen into...
You know, publication chaos?
Yes. Because of, like I said, where he's... doing the Umbrella Academy TV show. So
yeah.
He can only do so much, I guess.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you get a chance, read Doom Patrol. It's great.
I'm going to cheat. And cheat. Because I'm only supposed to talk about one book here, but I'm going to briefly mention two. Because I read 2 anthology books last week. And I read Batman Secret Files, which is what I'm actually reviewing. But I also read the Avengers Halloween special. Now, I haven't seen Marvel do a lot of these. Like holiday themed specials or Christmas specials or something like that. DC generally does some every year, either Halloween or Christmas or both.
They do both.
And I don't remember seeing a DC Christmas, a Halloween special this year.
Yep.
Did they?
It was called Cursed Comic
Cat. Oh, yeah. I did see that. You're right. I had forgotten about it. I didn't read it.
Well, there you go.
Sorry. That's why I didn't remember, because I didn't read it. But I did check out the Avengers Halloween special, and I've got to say, I've read a bunch of the DC ones. This Marvel one is not nearly as good. The stories...
Shocking.
The stories are really short. They're kind of disjointed, don't make a lot of sense, and just basically are something shocking for shocking's sake. And so the first story is about Matt Murdock. Matt Murdock is getting eye surgery so he can see again. But when he...
He could see the whole time.
Right. But when he wakes up, he realizes somebody's done something to him, and he starts seeing things that aren't there. Well, he finds out that the...
give him murderer's eyes.
The doctor said that somebody was going to kill his wife and kids unless they did something to his eyes. So he keeps hallucinations. And so he'll see Bullseye, and he'll attack Bullseye, and then he'll pull back and realize he just killed Foggy. And then, like, he kills another bad guy, and it's Karen Page, and he keeps seeing his mom, and she's dead, and he keeps seeing his dad come back from hell. And at the end of it, in order to keep seeing from that stuff, he gouges his own eyes out. And at the end of it, you see the Kingpin standing over him. The Kingpin's the one that had done it to him. So it was like three pages. It was really short. They had one about Doom, and Doom is looking at Richard's gloat on TV about another victory they had, when suddenly he realizes that's not Richard's. And he's like, that's not Richard's. I'd know Richard's contemptible laugh anywhere or whatever. So he goes to the Fantastic Four building to attack them, and he easily defeats them. And he gets in there, and finally the Avengers come in, and they put Doom in a straitjacket and put him away. And a woman that looks like the Invisible Woman comes in, and she said, you were right, Doom. The Fantastic Four are body snatcher type aliens, and you're the only one that knows it. But by the time the rest of them, they figure out, it'll be too late. And she shows her true form to him. And she's some kind of hideous alien monster, but you can't see it. And they said, now we are going to surgically close your mouth so you won't be able to say anything. It'll heal, but by the time you do, it'll be too late. And that's it. That's all that happens. Here you see another story where Tony Stark is thawing out the ice where Captain America was. And when they get Captain America unthawed, they realize that Captain America is a bad guy. So he's got Colossus and Deadpool trying to take him down. He easily kills both Colossus and Deadpool. And so Stark comes himself. And when he comes, he finds that Steve is able to absorb the bodies of the people he's killed into himself. It's really weird and messed up. And at the end of it, they're kind of a match for each other. They can't either one do anything, but there's a really bad winter storm coming in. And so Captain America looks at Tony. He says, you know, this storm won't stop me. It might freeze me, but it won't stop me. He says, well, I guess that whoever unthaws us, I hope they have the power to stop you. That's just where it ends. Like, these were really bad. They do a Punisher Phantom of the Opera. It was horrible. I was like, I didn't even know what it was for the longest time till I seen him swing down in costume. I went, oh my God, he's the Punisher, Phantom of the Opera. And then they did one where...
Makes sense, the skull face or whatever, yeah.
The only one that was kind of cool was these kids that were abandoning an old haunted house. It turned out to be Xavier's School of Gifted Students in the future, and it's abandoned because all the mutants have been killed or something like that. They end up falling into the Danger Room, and the Danger Room activates. So you got like Sentinels and the Juggernaut and a bunch of people coming after him. And the ghost of Wolverine appears to take them out. And then as the Wolverine walks them over and shows them Cerebro and says, let your search begin, because these kids are the first two mutants ever since they were all killed. And so it really was not any good. I was like, oh my God, Marvel, that was the worst.
Who wrote those?
I don't know. They were all written by different people. So, I don't know, I could look it up, but I was like, ugh. I got to call it out when it's bad, and it was bad. Now, Batman Secret Files, on the other hand, was actually pretty good. The story in the Batman Secret Files that intrigued me the most, the one I liked, was the first one, where Superman offers Batman a piece of the invisible planet, a small impossible rock called Platinum Kryptonite. Huh? All Batman has to do is touch it, and he gets all of Superman's powers permanently forever. And so Batman begins to think about what he could do with Superman's powers. And he looks at Alfred, and Alfred comes in, and Alfred hands him something to drink. And Batman, because his hand is broke, because he broke it doing something, punching somebody in the face or something, he drops the cup and it breaks. And he looks up at Alfred and said, "Alfred, do you think I'm enough?" And Alfred doesn't answer him, and that's where it ends. I was like, I need to know how that ends. And I figured they would give me the other half of it at the end. I was like, well, let me read through the rest of it. They're going to come back to that. They never did. I was like, I need to know. At the end of the day, you know Batman's not going to take Superman's powers. For whatever reason, he doesn't trust himself with it or something. These kinds of moral questions have been brought up in before in other books.
Yeah.
And it generally never works out well. There was a really good story about a young cop who was in a mental institution after getting doused with Joker's fear gas. And so the fear gas is wearing off of him, and he's talking to the psychologist dealing with the mental trauma of it. And he's recounting his story about how he was pinned down and he got gassed, and Batman came in to save him, but he saw Batman as a hideous monster. And Batman's talking to him and telling him he can trust him, but he was so scared that he just clenched up. He couldn't go with him. And so Batman's talking him through it, and it's like this giant winged, hideous, evil bat-looking creature talking to this guy. And he sounds good, but he looks as menacing as possible. And he said, let me tell you a secret about the fear gas. He said, you see that tunnel over there? He said, as long as you expect to see light at the other end, you'll always be afraid of the dark. If you say that you're okay here in the dark and that you're content with that, then you'll eventually find your way out of it. He said, but you've got to be at home in the dark first, because as long as you're looking for the light, you'll never find it. And so with that, he's able to get the guy out. And the guy's sitting there in his session, and he's walking down the hall getting ready to get released. And as he's walking down the hall getting ready to get released, he looks into one of the rooms, and in the room is somebody in a straitjacket. And the guy in the straitjacket turns around, and it's him. And he's not in the hall anymore. He's in the straitjacket. And he starts to scream and bust his head against it. I mean, he's serious. And so you see these two guys, two doctors out in the hall. And they say, well, one of them's a doctor. The other one's Bruce Wayne. He says, as you can see, Mr. Wayne, because he's there to check on the guy, the foundation's grants are essential to us. But sometimes even that is enough. This guy appears to be lost to us. And he hasn't made any progress. The gas still has him, I'm afraid. So I was like, the poor guy thought he'd worked through it, but he keeps reliving the nightmare. Then there's a really good one where these drug cartel have got these drones that are shooting at. Now, this is not a Halloween-themed one. That last one seemed almost like it was Halloween-themed, but it wasn't. And so these drug cartel have got these drones that they're using to shoot at people in the neighborhood who are getting in their way, who might be reporting them to police or whatever. Batman gets one of the drones and finds out that it's a Wayne Enterprises drone that they've made for the military. And like, how's this getting into the hands of the drug cartel? So it goes to Lucius Fox, and Lucius Fox says, we sold all of these to the military, but what the military does with them after the fact is beyond our control. He says, so either somebody in the government is crooked and is redealing these things out to drug cartels, or they've been stolen or something. There's no way for us to know. Batman said, can you shut them down? He said, not after we've sold them. Batman looks at him and just stares, and he goes, of course we can. He said, then shut them all down. He said, Bruce, if we do that, it will shut down all of them, even the ones the military are using. And he said, shut them down. And so he shuts them down, and the girl that the drones were trying to kill, he goes to her and tells her that she never has to worry about the drones ever again. But it may be too late because she's already bought a gun, and so she's so jumpy that she's been shooting at whatever pops around her corner, so she's probably going to end up killing somebody. But the best one is the one at the end where he's up in the snowy mountains, and he goes, I don't normally come up here, but there's been reports of a Bigfoot-like character. He said, but I think it may be Kirk Langstrom. The Man-Bat is missing, and he hasn't been seen, and the reports of a giant hairy monster may fit his description. So he's up here alone at this cabin, but without all his technology and stuff, he's lonesome. There's no back computer to go over. There's nothing. He's just sitting there with the fire, cleaning his harpoon gun, stuff like that. He'll routinely go out, you know, on his bat skis and his bat Arctic outfit you know, looking for the man bat, and he thinks he may be tracking him, but he'll lose the trail, and he never finds him. Well, he's in the house one night when he starts hearing noises outside, and he thinks Langstrom's out there. So he goes inside, and he gets, like, his harpoon gun, and he sets up, and he shoots through the door at where he knows it's at, and he's killed a deer, and that's all it was. And the idea of being up there alone and being on the hunt has made him so jumpy that he's jumping and shooting at anything, and he gives up and goes home. But it was the personal reflection stuff that happened in between that was a really good part. Then there was a really cool Detective Chimp story where Detective Chimp is trying to help somebody that was murdered. They tracked down the Riddler's gang who's supposed to be responsible. And this one kid who had been recruited by the Riddler's gang was the kid Detective Chimp was trying to save because he didn't want him to get caught up in that lifestyle. And when the kid turns and he's got a gun, he starts to shoot at Batman. Detective Chimp jumps in front of it, takes the bullet. And so the kid drops the gun and he says, "Oh my God, I didn't mean to hurt you." And he goes, "Run before he catches you," because he knows Batman will take him out. And so the kid runs and Batman comes over and he goes, "Are you okay?" And Detective Chimp forces himself to stand and he goes, "I'm not hurt." And Batman says, "You know, I never underestimated you, and I'm not embarrassed to be seen with you," because he made that comment to Batman earlier. He says, "Come on, I know you're not hurt, but let's get you to the hospital anyway." Detective Chimp goes, "Okay, I may bleed in your car a lot." And he goes, "It wouldn't be the first or last time." It was a really good story. So that I had a lot of fun with that anthology, the Marvel Halloween, not so much.
Well, the one of the variants for the Avengers Halloween was like Tony is like Frankenstein's monster.
Uh-huh.
He's working on Frankenstein cap.
Oh, really?
No. Tony is Frankenstein.
Right. Working on cap as the monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's got like the big white lab coat and then like the goggles on top of his head.
Yeah, cool.
Looked a little weird.
All right. So, last book of the night, Charlie, you're going to continue with the Spider-themed books. You're going to stay with Spider-Force number one.
Yeah.
And dig further into this Spider-Geddon storyline.
Well, this is Spider-Force number one, written by Christopher Priest, who writes Deathstroke for DC. And this is Kane and his band of spider people. It's got this spider kid, like I think that's his name. It's got Jessica Drew. I think it's got Aranya on there, but it's kind of funny because it's got them and Kane and Spider-Man's granddaughter in the future from Old Man Hawkeye. She's in it too,
right?
Because it's funny because, like, they meet the spider kid and on his Earth before they go to this other Earth. And he's, like, he's not a crime fighter. He like, takes money from, like, drug traffickers and, like, lives on his own. And when the Spider-Woman from the Old Man Wolverine storyline, she keeps calling him Gramps and stuff. She's like, "Let's go, Gramps." He's like, "Why are you calling me Gramps? I'm only like 13 years old or whatever." He's like a really young kid. But Kane and them like teleport to the Earth where the inheritors are.
Right.
The radioactive Earth. And they're all there. And storyline's called 15 Minutes, and I don't know why it's called 15 Minutes, but that's what storyline's called. But it seems that they only have 15 minutes to stop the inheritors before everything goes wrong.
Right.
But the thing is, when they get there, they're like bio suits start to melt and stuff because they can only be there for so long out in the open. And, it's basically Kane sent them on a suicide mission to this Earth, and they didn't know about it until they got there. And they're like, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" It's like, "You screwed us over, Kane."
Stupid Kane.
But at the end, like someone, swings in to help him. And they don't say who the character is, but I tend to think it's like Peter Parker of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Huh.
Because his...
He's got a spider symbol.
His spider symbol kind of looks like the S.H.I.E.L.D. symbol.
Yeah.
But he's like Nick Fury from when he was the Watcher on the moon.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
Excellent. All right. That brings us to the end of this week's books. We hope you enjoyed listening to that. We'll be back in just a moment to close the show out and take care of some final business. Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. Sit tight.
You belong in a circus, Spock. Right next to the dog-faced boy.
Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. We want to thank you for being with us tonight. Now it's time to finish up for the evening and pay some bills. So we're going to give you some fast hit and information here that you need. We want to remind you, if you will, that Alternate Reality Podcast is a podcast that comes out ever so often, and we have a website where you can go and see new episodes and download them and interact with us there. And that website is arnetcast.podomatic.com. And we want you to go there and check that out. We also want you to send us some email, as I spoke to you earlier, and send us that at Alternate Reality Podcast, all one word, no spaces, dots, hyphens, or anything like that. AlternateRealityPodcast@gmail.com. Patreon is a service that Alternate Reality has partnered with to allow you, if you enjoy what we do here, to make donations to the Alternate Reality Podcast. There are three tiers that you can sign up for. You can sign up on our $3 tier, our $10 tier, or our $20 tier. That's U.S. dollars. If you do that, then once you sign up, whatever tier you choose, it'll bill that much to that card that you used or that PayPal or whatever every month. So, again, if you like what we do here and you want to help us do what we do and do it better. Now, again, Alternate Reality will continue to come out free every time we put out an episode. You never have to pay. But if you're willing to sign up on those tiers, then we are looking for ways to give back to you, special promotional perks that we think you'll like. So, again, go over to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/Alternate Reality, and sign up to be a giver there. If you would, go over to iTunes and write a review for us at Alternate Reality. 5 stars or better, please. Nothing else less than that. And say good things about us there. It helps get the word out about Alternate Reality. It helps bring new listeners into the show. That's good for us and that's good for you. Follow us on the social networking. We're all over on Twitter. Twitter/John Lovelace for me. X-Onslaught for Charlie. And the show itself has a Twitter feed. Twitter.com/AR, short for Alternate Reality. AR_podcast. And you can check us out over there. Of course, that me and Charlie and the show itself are all three over on Facebook as well. And just search for us there and you should be able to find us. We have very public profiles. And Alternate Reality is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network. That's it for this time. And until next time, and in the meantime, my name's John.
I'm Charlie.
And we are out. You guys have a good night.
Well, it looks like another book I'm reading is ending.
Charles, like, even less to read.
2 issues, the unexpected is ending.
So, at some point in the future, Charles will be like, all my books ended. I have nothing to talk about. Show's over. Bye. Show up each week. What'd you read this week, Charlie? Nothing. All the Marvel books look stupid, and all my DC books ended, and I'm just not reading anything. What'd you read? Well, I didn't read much either. Okay, great show.
Well, that's when I'm going to start reading Oni and...
oh, yeah, Avatar Press and Valiant and other great indie publishers.
I'm going to make that podcast that Cajun Sean has always wanted.
Chris Parton will be so proud of us. All right. Regular show in 3, 2, 1.